Welcome back to the Galveston Experience Podcast. We're up to episode number 104, and this week's guest, Scott Gordon from the Lighthouse Charities, actually appears in a very timely fashion because they help out with disasters. You'll hear more about that later. And we have kind of a pending disaster. It's going to be a disaster somewhere in the Gulf. The tropical storm season is the most active ever. So when we got up on Friday morning, we thought it was going to be Wilfred was going to be the name of the storm that hits the Texas coast. Then that name got grabbed by another storm. So then now they moved to Greek alphabet letters. So Alpha was then going to be the name of the storm. And by lunchtime, Beta was maybe the storm. And of course, until it turns to a tropical storm, it's just called a 22L. And the way this is going, it might be Zeta by the time it becomes a named storm. So we'll take a quick check about some things happening around the island this weekend. Then you will really enjoy getting the scuttlebutt on the Lighthouse Charity team. I'd heard about them. A friend from the Chamber of Commerce is involved in them. And I knew about some of their good work, but I really didn't know their long history and, of course, even their recent history with Hurricane Laura. So we'll talk about that in just a second. So if it's been a while since you've been to a drive-in movie, this is the weekend for you. Saturday night, the 19th. There'll be a drive-in movie at Stewart Beach. It's going to be Grease, John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John, and then the cult classic Rocky Horror Picture Show that will be free with your admission to Stewart Beach. Of course, the Galveston Experience Company just launched that historic hurricane tour with Dr. Hal Needham, Hurricane Hal. It also covers a lot of the tree carvings. That goes off every day at noon. Historic bus tour at 1:30, and then they've got the ghost bus tours at 7 and 8:30 on the weekends. Plenty of live music around the island. Check out the island events page at RadioGalveston.com for all the details on that. On Saturday, the Artist Boat has got their kayak, the Coastal Heritage Preserve. The Bucket Beach Brigade tours are also happening at Stewart Beach in front of the Convention Center and down at Pirates Beach. And the Harborside Express is operating at 50% capacity. You can get your tickets starting at 11 o'clock at the Railroad Museum, and they sell their last ticket about 1:30 in the afternoon for that. Moody Mansion also has their all-access guided tour, definitely worth checking out. And on Sunday, you can show some love back to the island with the beach cleanup at the historic Pleasure Pier. Meet at 5:45 under the Pleasure Pier. Wear your masks and check into their Community Coastal Cleanup Facebook page online. Let them know you'll be attending, and let's keep making this island a better place. So speaking of people who make things a better place, time to get the scuttlebutt on Lighthouse Charities.
I am Mike Dudas, and my guest on this edition of the podcast is Scott Gordon, who will give us all the scuttlebutt on the Lighthouse Charity Team. And to kick things off, tell us about your mission, the Lighthouse Charity Team.
The Lighthouse Charity Team is a volunteer-based organization that helps other people. Obviously, during this pandemic and some of the natural disasters, we've been stretched a little thin, but on a regular basis, we do fundraising for other nonprofits, including kids and people that have medical issues that might not be able to pay all the expenses, and they do have insurance, but you know, they still need a little helping hand.
So how exactly do you do the fundraising?
They will go to our website and submit a request form. You know, hey, can you help us? And once we get that and kind of review who they are and make sure they are a 501 or there is a true need, then we will meet with them and help them coordinate their event. And if it's an example, as we do, like there's a one that stands out, it's a 4 or 5 year old cancer patient, and we will coordinate helping them develop a flyer, develop the marketing. They will go out and pre-sell tickets so that no matter, I mean, it's human nature. Everybody wants to help, but you might not want to be there on a Saturday afternoon. But once you've bought your ticket, if you show up or don't show up, it's still, you've already supported that cause. So then they come back to us and say, we've sold 400 tickets, or we've sold 1,000 tickets. And whatever the meal is, we'll help prepare the meal with their help. And then they will either find an underwriter or subsidize the cost of the meal, and then they keep 100% of the profits. We don't charge anything for our labor, our equipment, or anything that we've helped them with.
Yeah, visiting your website, it looks like the Lighthouse Charity Team, there's a very big cooking component. Tell us a little bit more about that.
The cooking part of the team is a lot of events. People are familiar with Boy Scouts and things that do banquets. And there's several. That one just always sticks in my mind because the Scouts and the events that normally have someone cater a lunch or a dinner for a banquet get charged a caterer's cost because they're trying to cover labor and they're trying to cover a restaurant, a facility, and everything all gets charged back to the charity, where we can go in and charge just the cost of the food. So instead of a $12 or $15, $20 per plate, we can do a $5 or $6, $7 meal, sit-down meal, versus the negative, and that way it doesn't cost them as much.
Your team can provide the food, so does the charity, or they're like responsible for, you know, the nonprofit responsible for securing their own venue, then you would transport the food to their venue?
Yeah, they will find a location that works for them. It might be a sit-down dinner for someone, and they might have a silent auction, and they go get the silent auction and the live auction and the entertainment and all of the people, the parents or whoever is involved. And once they get the facility set up, then we go look at it, talk to them, make sure it works for everybody. And then we bring in our volunteers and we prep the food. It could be, I don't know, a pork loin dinner with mushroom gravy over wild rice with a side of green beans, a garden salad, and a breadstick, and iced tea. We provide the stuff that most people see at some of these events, and our volunteers do it as a way for us to be able to help each and every one of either the charities or the people that might need a little help.
You have a mobile kitchen, so if you're not bringing your mobile kitchen, the trailer, to the venue, where is your location? I mean, do you have a kitchen or do you work out of that mobile unit?
Both. We have a full kitchens in Galveston on Broadway. If people are familiar with Galveston, just on the south side of the causeway between 61st and 71st, is you'll see a Lighthouse Charity Team banner on the front of a big warehouse. That building was donated to us by Larry Del Papa with Del Papa Distributing. And he was moving when he moved off the island and went to Texas City with his operation. He donated that building, the lighthouse, in order to continue great things on the island. So we have a full kitchen there, inspected kitchen that gets reported to the health department. And then when we leave there, then everything's been inspected and it goes with us, health department approved.
I think thousands of us have passed the Lighthouse Charity Team building, and I know personally I had no idea that was all going on inside that building. So for cooking, is there no jobs too small and no job too big?
No. I would have to answer that. If someone's got a heart and a passion to help someone with 50 people, we've done it. And if we've done Ellington, we do a big deal for our troops, which we're very proud of, our military and our badged and our emergency responders. But we do Ellington Field, Welcome Home Troops, and Family Day for everyone that comes and goes from Ellington, 4,000 or 5,000 for a lunch. Literally, our group, we don't really get nervous. Someone says, hey, we got 1,000 on Saturday. We might start talking about it Monday and start getting our ducks in a row and getting our orders together. And we're just, we're very blessed to have been around over 30, 35 years. Our founder has been a tremendous teacher to everybody, Dick Doggard. So he's, you know, he's built it, taught us how to build it, and taught us, all of us, there's more to life than dollars and cents.
How long have you been with the Lighthouse Charity Team?
I haven't been there that long, just 30 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, just a short while.
I can't get run off, they told me.
No, with all the great things that you all are doing. Where are the funds generated primarily to keep the organization going on a daily basis?
There's a lot of individual donors, businesses, local. There's a few national companies that are behind us only because they've been exposed to us or have seen us in some of these disasters and emergencies. But generally, it's local. We do a big event in January where we bring in a big-name entertainer. It's at the Flight Museum. And last year was Kevin Fowler and Roger Krager together. And we have other plans for this year, even though we're trying to figure out the pandemic. But we do a big event and bring in lots of sponsors. And people believe in what we do. People respect that. A lot of organizations kind of wait until the need's there. And with these disasters and things that are going on, we kind of move the roadblocks, for lack of a better word. It's easier to beg forgiveness and ask permission. Someone calls and says, can you help? And we're right there. We try to be. And we've got some great, great sponsors. For one, a national sponsor that I have to give some credit to. Anytime something happens disaster-wise, Glenn Beck, Suzanne Grishman with Mercury One, if you know the name Glenn Beck, he is one of our big, big supporters. He came in right after Harvey. We picked him up at the airport and became friends with him and his foundation. And he is, people like him, some don't like him, but I'll tell you, his money goes exactly where he says it's going to go. And he won't let, he says no one should go without.
How has COVID-19 changed the day-to-day operations of a Lighthouse charity team?
Just like everybody else, you can't get together, you can't have very many people around, and our organization depends on people. So there's a big saying in the nonprofit world, people give time for they have no money, and people give money for they have no time. And with the pandemic, it works both ways, just like every day, but you can't get our volunteers six or eight together. And if we're trying to cook for a big event, you can't do it because someone takes a picture and social media kind of skews it. All of a sudden, you got too many people together or somebody gets upset. And we've just tried to, you know, kind of stay under the radar. And if we have to separate and do separate ways of cooking, we still have to help people. I mean, charities still need help. And they need more help now than ever. So we break it up and try and make lemonade out of lemons, for lack of a better word. If we have to take in separate teams, we take stuff and do events in separate teams.
I understand that the charity team has done some big things with the Hurricane Laura efforts, recovery efforts. Tell us about that.
Hurricane Laura came, was fortunately didn't hit us, and I have to say we're very blessed. We've been through that road. We've done that. Got the T-shirt. And when it went further east, we know that the Cajun Navy and they're friends of ours, and we know them all. We knew they were going to need some help. We just didn't know where. We didn't know where we fit. And then the Knights of Columbus, some friends came to us and said, we want to go over to Sulphur, Louisiana. And I said, all right, I'll meet with you and kind of figure it out. Well, Sulphur has three or four different churches. And as talking to them and seeing the area that we were going to be going to, it was the not-so-affluent side of town. And they were going to go in, do one meal, and say, we've kind of done it. And once I got involved and made some phone calls, and I said, you don't do it that way, because if you leave after one meal, these people are still looking for another meal the next day somewhere else. I said, if you're going to go in and you stay. You stay till they get power. Or you stay till they get a grocery store open or restaurants open. And, well, didn't understand that, but we've been through it with Harvey and Alicia and Ike and all the stuff we've done in Galveston. Once the restaurants get open, you want to support them. You want to go buy whatever it is from their restaurant or the grocery store, the convenience store, because it allows that owner to employ their people and give them a paycheck and get normalcy. So we went over we've probably done, I think the last piece of equipment is still in Vinton, Louisiana, but we left the day after the storm with our first crew, and we're in 20,000 servings plus, maybe 25,000 by this point. It's very humbling to know that we could be on the side that they're in, and they could be the ones over here trying to take care of us. You know, Galveston being right there on the coast, just like Cameron, just like the areas over there. You know, it very could have easily been another one for us to be able to say we're honored to be able to go take care of somebody else and be a part of helping our neighbors and helping your fellow man. I think that speaks volumes for our whole Galveston County, not just Lighthouse, not just who we are. It's not just Lighthouse. It's people that help fund it. It's people that gave money. It's people that believe in helping somebody else. And when you do something for somebody else, it comes back to you. We know that. And I'm sure everybody listening knows that's the way it's supposed to be. A little bit of unity and community might be the way to put it.
Well, congratulations on all the great work and the support that you give everyone in their time of need. And what better thing to give people back as a nice hot meal, a good meal. If anyone would like to know and obtain further information about the Lighthouse Charity Team, how can they contact?
They can either go to the website, lighthousecharityteam.com. Facebook has Lighthouse Charity Team. The website's got my cell. All the contact information is there. I'm always on the, I think my phone stays on 24/7. So we believe in what we do, and we believe in the people that have a heart for helping other people.
My guest on this edition of the podcast has been Scott Gordon from the Lighthouse Charity Team. If you would like to be a guest on a future podcast and give us all the scuttlebutt on your business or organization, drop us a line right here at RadioGalveston.com.
Thank you, Mike. And thank you, Scott, for filling us in on the Lighthouse Charities and all the fantastic work that you do. And unfortunately, with another tropical storm bearing down on the Texas coast, who knows where it will make landfall. But there's a lot of comparisons to Hurricane Harvey, a slow-moving storm with a lot of water. And so we'll keep our eyes on that. Could be the Lighthouse Charity will be reactivated to help somebody when that storm makes landfall here early next week. And wherever it happens, you know, Hurricane Hal will be there. That is his job. He is a climate scientist, and you can hear his reports from RadioGalveston.com, who also happens to produce this here podcast for the Galveston Experience Company. So if you're enjoying the podcast, please do give us the old 5-star review. Send it along to your friends, and you'll find us on all of the major podcast platforms. If you've got a business and you haven't already contacted us, we've got that new Galveston Digital Island Guide. You'll find a link to that on RadioGalveston.com as well, but it's a free listing for all the Galveston businesses. And if you've got events going on, go to the Island Events page, click Submit an Event, and you'll get on the calendar, which is shared between Radio Galveston, Galveston Experience Company, and the new Galveston Digital Island Guide calendar. So you get a lot of exposure for that. Well, may add it to the podcast, talk about it on the radio, and let everybody know what is happening with your event. So we'll be watching the weather with you. And again, you can be listening for the updates there at RadioGalveston.com. So hopefully we'll be seeing you around the island, maybe on one of those great Galveston Experience Company tours. If nothing else, we'll look for you right here next time on the Galveston Experience Podcast.